Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
He says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? By the way, notice the word is neglect and not reject. They didn't reject it. A big difference. The word neglect literally means to make light of, to be careless with. Remember, this was written to believers. They hadn't rejected the truth, but many of them had neglected it, and it caused them to slip. By the way, they didn't lose their salvation. You do not lose your salvation. Amen and amen and amen. But don't you know that they were miserable people? Not too miserable. So anyway, how shall we escape? In other words, if we must take the word which came by angels seriously, then we must take the word that came by the Son of God even more seriously. What he said, a greater word brought by a greater person will bring a greater condemnation if it is neglected. Does that make sense to y'all? And that's why he's warning these Hebrew believers. Don't let it slip. Don't go back. How shall we escape that judgment of God? We'll get into Hebrews chapter number 10. I got just a minute. Turn me Hebrews chapter 19, since we're looking at this together. Verse number 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Well, verse number 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more after we see the day approaching. It doesn't stop there. The reason I went here and jumped way ahead, he's talking about how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? They were going back. Look at verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, stop, don't read any farther. You're on dangerous territory right here. If you received the truth and you understood the truth, you received the knowledge of the truth, and you still disregard it. He's talking to believers. I'm reading what the Bible says. Preacher, I don't believe it. This is what the Word of God says. For if we sin willfully, there's another if. If we sin willfully, the word willfully literally means intentionally. You know not to do it, but you do it anyway. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. All right, before I go any farther, I know your mind's running 100 miles an hour. I know what 1 John 1, 9 says. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, aren't you glad for forgiveness? But he's talking about something completely different here. If we sin willfully, he's talking to those one Hebrew believers who went back into temple worship. They knew they wasn't supposed. Are y'all following the thought here? Okay, don't get it out of context. That's why it was so important to understand who he's writing to and the purpose of this book, because you get to hear and your mind just runs and you get all kinds of false teaching and all kinds of crazy ideas. He's talking to those, if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And it goes on a little bit farther about, look in verse number 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. There is so much going on here. Let me give this to you. Where much is given, much is required. They knew the truth, but they willfully, intentionally went back. That's why Paul earlier said, they're not coming back. They didn't lose their salvation, but that's why it talks about the judgment of God and chastising one another in Hebrews chapter, is it 9? Where is it talking about chastisement? My mind is running everywhere now. Some of you Bible scholars help me. It's 13. About chastise. Go to chapter number 13. This is all, it's all tying, where's it at in 13? 12, Archie. We're at in 12. Okay. Where's the one? Okay. Now, no chastising for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's not the one I'm looking for. I'm looking about it, he's chastising, and if you don't belong to, if you're not here, you're a bastard. Where's that one? Okay. All right, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. All this has to do with the judgment of God. I'm not chasing rabbits here. It ties back to Hebrews chapter number 2. How shall we escape? You ain't getting away from it. If we neglect it. It didn't say reject it. If we neglect it, if we despise it, we deny it, we do all these things, God's going to judge you. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I know we don't like to talk about the judgment of God, but it's here. Matter of fact, God judges his people more harshly in this life than unbelievers. Do you get that? He judges believers more harshly in this side of heaven than unbelievers. Why? Because they belong to him. He don't judge, so to speak, the children of the devil. They don't belong to him. They belong to Satan. Anyway, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with some of you, with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof ye are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh. And it goes on about the chastising of God. Now turn back with me to Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 3. How shall we escape this judgment if we neglect such a great salvation, so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The Lord has spoken some truth during his ministry, and there's so much here, and I want to finish this up. That first began to be spoken by the Lord. Remember, what the Lord said is so much better than what the angel said and what the prophets had said earlier. Jesus began his church during his personal ministry. Okay, I know there's a lot of stuff out there. The church began on the day of Pentecost. The church did not begin on the day of Pentecost. The church was already in existence before the day of Pentecost. You believe that? If you're at this church, you know that by now that I believe it. Matter of fact, turn me to Acts. We got a couple visitors here. Let me show you something real quick and then we'll go back. Acts chapter number 2. The day of Pentecost. Verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Here's a question that even a caveman can understand, okay? How can you add to something that was not previously there? This is on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says, unto that was added unto them 3,000. So the church was already in existence before the day of Pentecost. When did the church begin? And this isn't a church ecclesiology, but the church began during the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ called out his disciples from the Sea of Galilee, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He began though with those disciples that were baptized by John the Baptist. You ever heard of him? John the Baptist? We're not John the Methodist, John the Presbyterian. I shouldn't have said that. I'm going to be in trouble now because this goes out live on the internet.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.